Welcome to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we aim to take you to the heart of ag policy. I'm Spencer Chase. We're recording from Commodity Classic in Houston, Texas this week, where the folks at Pivot Bio hosted us at their booth on the Commodity Classic trade show floor. There, we had the opportunity to speak to a number of organizational leaders, including American Soybean Association President Josh Gackle. Josh, let's start off talking about some of the big issues before the American Soybean Association here at Commodity Classic this week. You've got Farm Bill, biofuels policy, Endangered Species Act, regulatory policy, a lot of things going on. What exactly are your members telling you about the approach that they're hoping ASA takes to all of these big issues?
I mean, we've been working with our growers and our members for a couple years on the Farm Bill. So those priorities haven't changed, but that is our focus. It's great to be here in Commodity Classic with all of our growers at ASA, but also all the commodity groups, just talking about what's going on in the policy world. And you mentioned Farm Bill. We're still engaged on that, trying to get a full five-year reauthorization done this year. That's getting tied up in other political things happening in D.C., so it's hard to get stuff moving. But we're hoping that sometime soon we're going to get some more information on what feedstocks are going to qualify for potential SAF, sustainable aviation fuel, tax credits and programs that are going to be in that area. We think that soybeans have a big role to play in that, and just hoping that the numbers that come out there and the more specific policies and programs and support for that is going to be helpful to soybeans. So just a lot of potential there, so focused on that as well. When you mention EPA, then we're also talking about biotech and crop protection tools. Recently had the dicamba decision from the court in Arizona, and we're thankful that EPA has issued that existing stocks order so that farmers have a little certainty coming into this 2024 growing season.
Let's drill down on that dicamba issue for a little bit. What exactly is the impact, for those that aren't familiar, what is the impact of that decision if it were to allow it to stand? What does that mean for you as a soybean farmer?
Well, if that, especially this year, with that decision so late in the season, you know, most farmers have already made their crop decisions and their seed decisions, traits, and the chemicals that they're going to use to protect that crop. Those decisions have been made months ago. To have a court vacate that so late in the game creates just a ton of uncertainty for growers. To expect that farmers can switch to a different seed or a different trait or a different chemical only a few weeks before planting season begins in certain parts of the U.S., it's just unrealistic.
Trade obviously so important to all farmers in the United States, but soybean farmers in particular, you really rely on those export markets for increased profitability. What does the prospect for growing soybean export markets look like? Any particular targets y'all have at this point?
What we've been trying to do in the soybean world and working with the Soybean Export Council is to find new markets, diversify, and grow markets outside of that China market so we're not so reliant on purchases from China. And I think there are a lot of opportunities there. You know, we recently had a announcement of a new program from USDA, the Regional Agriculture Promotion Program, which is partnering with U.S. farmer dollars, checkoff dollars that farmers put in, partnering with those dollars to find those new markets, to grow them, and to get more access for U.S. products to flow to some of those markets.
Very good. Josh, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Great. Thank you.
We'll be right back with more AgriPulse Newsmakers. Harold Woolley from the National Corn Growers Association joins us next.
Farmers are always there for each other. We shed tears together. We celebrate together. But we also grow together. Farm Bureau is the largest general farm organization in the country. We have the farmers' back. If you're a farmer and you're not a member, we would welcome you into our Farm Bureau family. And if you want to know more about agriculture, come be part of this great family.
Regenerative poultry production is a process by which nature can actually recapture and restore the energy that is being taken out of a space.
Farm Credit helped Rahi build his dream of regenerative poultry farming and encouraging fellow immigrants to find community in agriculture.
Nothing beats a farm. I'm just pursuing happiness.
Learn more at farmcredit.com/beginning.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Newsmakers. Excited to be joined by Harold Woolley from the National Corn Growers Association. Harold, appreciate you making a little time to chat with us here today.
Glad to be here. Pretty exciting environment at Commodity Classic. There's an electricity in the air, I think. A lot of farmers here, so very busy trade show.
Yes, busy trade show, record attendance here at Commodity Classic this year. A lot of folks walking around, including members of NCGA. What can you tell me about things that are kind of top of mind for corn growers members here at Commodity Classic?
Well, increasing the demand for corn is our number one issue at this point. With the commodity prices as low as they are, it's a result of the supply and demand being out of balance. We've got more supply than we have demand, so we need to work on increasing the demand for corn.
One of the top issues, it seems like, for almost every group this year at Commodity Classic is that upcoming farm bill with the 2018 farm bill, under an extension. Now, looking at potential for farm bill action this year, the potential for another extension of the farm bill yet this year. What is NCGA's thoughts on farm bill policy at this point? And was there any changes that you saw here at this this particular meeting?
Well, we want to see a full five-year reauthorization of the farm bill. Very gratified that it was extended so that we do have the certainty for this growing year. Some changes. We want to keep crop insurance strong. We want to see improvements to the Title I safety net programs. We want to see MAP and FMD, the market access program and foreign market development programs, fully funded. And then we are in favor of a mandatory base acre update.
Mm-hmm. So that base acre update, that's an area where corn growers are on a bit of an island to some of the other commodity groups, others that don't exactly feel the same way, but NCGA does and reiterated that position this year. Why does NCGA feel this is the right approach?
It has to do with what it's going to cost to update our bases. If we do a mandatory base acre update, there will be some savings, is the last Congressional Budget Office's scoring of it. If we do a voluntary, it's going to be hugely expensive. And given the current conditions in Washington, D.C., I don't think there's going to be an appetite for spending that kind of money on the farm bill.
Mm-hmm. Then looking at so many of the issues before NCGA members at the Corn Congress here this year at Commodity Classic, one of them was a trade resolution expressing just how NCGA feels about some of the current trade dialogue. What can you tell me about
that? You're exactly right. We're so blessed in this country that we can produce more than we consume. We need to have trade. There's been some debate in the presidential campaigns about how trade's going to go forward in the near-term future. And the NCGA, our delegates, just wanted to express their sincere desire that we need to be very proactive in trade for the ag community.
What can you tell me kind of about where things stand and where you hope things go with that Mexico dispute?
Well, the decree initially was for all corn and then got backed off to just corn for human consumption. It's under a U.S. Trade Representative Office dispute settlement process right at the moment. I was hopeful that would get resolved this spring, summer, but it seems like that's going to drag on into the fall now. So, and we're very confident that the rules of USMCA are going to prevail and that we will be allowed to keep that export market.
Because I have to imagine this is not necessarily just an issue of one country. This is an issue of precedent for the entire global trading system,
right.
Is it not?
We need to have our trade issues based on sound science, and that's clearly not what's happening with Mexico. So as we develop trade agreements throughout the world, they need to be based on sound science, too.
Well, and I suppose you have to consider, too, the importance of Mexico as a market for the American corn farmer as well.
It is huge. They're our number one export destination. Part of that's because of the transportation system that we have in place. Our railroads go direct from the Midwest, where the corn is grown, to the central parts of Mexico, where the livestock is that eats all of our corn. So a huge trading opportunity with Mexico. They need our corn. We need them as an export destination.
Very good. Harold, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
The leader of the National Association of Wheat Growers, Brett Shane, joins us right after this.
The story of a farm is the story of a family. From generations past to generations to come, families have raised their children and the crops that sustain our country on the same fields. Today, with a better nitrogen, farmers can continue to take care of what matters most, the land they work and the people they do it with.
Agriculture Future of America is a nonprofit building transformational leaders in food and agriculture. AFA prepares college students to join the workforce as innovative and engaged young professionals who will shape the future of agriculture. Head to agfuture.org to find out how you can get involved.
Did you know AgriPulse has all your favorite podcasts, including Open Mic, Newsmakers, and Drive Time? Take us wherever you go. Subscribe at agripulse.com or on Spotify, Google Play, or Apple Podcasts.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Newsmakers, joined by Brent Sheen with the National Association of Wheat Growers. Brent, appreciate you taking some time to join us here.
Oh, glad to be here. Thank you for having us.
So a lot of wheat growers walking around at the Commodity Classic, a lot of things on everybody's mind. What can you tell me about some of the big agenda items for NOG here at Commodity Classic?
Well, I think some of the big thing on the grower's mind, of course, is profitability. A lot of volatility out there in the world marketplace, and people have some legitimate concerns, and we're an innovative bunch. We're going to be fine.
Mm-hmm. As you sit down to have policy-based discussions, I know you all had your board meetings this week and really setting policy for the organization. What were some of the big policy-based things on folks' minds?
Well, some of the key policy things, of course, were getting a good farm bill so that the wheat growers can continue to raise a good crop of wheat. And we got to have our crop inputs readily available. We've got to have timely and accurate registrations of certain products by the Environmental Protection Agency. And we want those negotiations to be transparent and nothing that burdens the American wheat grower.
Mm-hmm. So then looking at this farm bill, of course, negotiations on Capitol Hill, not exactly moving at, rapid pace. I wonder, in the event that they're not able to move another farm bill this year, what would another year of the 2018 farm bill mean for you as a wheat grower?
It's gotten old, and it needs a bit of a facelift. It needs a cost of living adjustment. It's at the end of its life cycle. No, not trying to downplay how good it was, but we need to go new.
As you look at the current risk management framework that's available to you as a wheat producer, I mean, what changes would you like to see made to that?
I would like to see the crop insurance strengthened and improved. They've got a great program, a great product, but I'd like to see them make a really good insurance program, an awesome insurance program. We need a good crop insurance program that keeps the farmer whole, the banker whole, the supplier's whole. Not going to make the farmer rich, but it'll leave us whole enough to fight another year.
Uh-huh. Let's wrap up talking about some of the transportation and logistics facing wheat production, specifically in the Pacific Northwest, as they look to figure out the Snake River Dam situation and adjust to the new hole there. I mean, this is obviously an issue that is very, very important to the wheat grower. But why should folks outside of wheat growers be paying close attention?
Well, everybody needs to be cognizant of what's going on the Snake River Dams, because this is the type of problem that could spill over into the Mississippi River. Once they start, they rarely stop. And you look at the amount of hydropower, the affordable transportation, because I think the figures show that, it takes less than 0.2 cents a bushel to move wheat on the river. That's really, really affordable and effective. And if you take that out, our whole marketing structure suffers. In fact, it almost just implodes. So as you look at it, we need to contain it now. We should be improving and bettering that infrastructure, not tearing it down.
Very good. Brent, thanks for joining us. We'll be right back with more AgriPulse Newsmakers as Craig Meeker from the National Sorghum Producers joins us right after this.
Farmers are always there for each other. We shed tears together. We celebrate together. But we also grow together. Farm Bureau is the largest general farm organization in the country. We have the farmers' back. If you're a farmer and you're not a member, we would welcome you into our Farm Bureau family. And if you want to know more about agriculture, come be part of this great family.
Looking closer, seeing further. That's how we do it. At Curious Plot, we're driven to find what's next for agriculture, animal care, and food. We stay curious because that's what it takes to grow understanding. That's how we plot strategies and tell stories that get results time after time. Marketing, communications, and consulting that look closer and see further. Curious Plot. We can't wait to help you tell your story.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Newsmakers, joined by Craig Meeker with the National Sorghum Producers. Craig, appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Thank you. I appreciate it as well.
So a lot of sorghum producers walking around the Commodity Classic here this year in Houston, wondering what are some of the big issues that are facing NSPN sorghum producers?
Well, you know, I think the biggest one is still is when's this farm bill going to get done? I think a lot of folks want to have some security and understand what the law is going to be for the next 5 years and not be sitting here hoping for another extension.
If we do end up in the extension environment, what does another year of the 2018 Farm Bill mean for you as a sorghum producer?
You know, we have some really good opportunities in the 2018 Farm Bill. It's a good bill. There are some things that need to be changed and need to be updated and be more relevant to where we're at today. That's why we're really pushing for a new five-year Farm Bill. However, if we have to use an extension, we have many levers that we can pull in the 2018 Farm Bill that still work for very well for sorghum farmers.
I understand you as sorghum producers had the opportunity to hear from some folks at USDA at Commodity Classic this year as well. What can you tell me about some of the things you learned from those conversations?
You know, we had some great conversations this week with Robert Bonney, Undersecretary Bonney. We had some great conversations about how climate smart commodities work and how we fit into that. We had some great conversations about how Farm Bill implementation will go in the future and how we're still continuing to work through 2018 implementation, making sure that we're getting programs right from 2018. Then we had a great conversation with NRCS Chief Terry Cosby and had a great opportunity to talk about what is coming in the future with more IRA dollars being available through the conservation title and being able to utilize those on our farms to be sustainable and be productive for many years in the future.
Mm-hmm. In the conversations that you had on climate smart commodities, obviously that's a big priority for this administration. It's also a potential big opportunity for producers of sorghum and everything else under the sun here in American agriculture. Where do you think sorghum growers fit into the climate smart commodity question?
You know, one of the things that's really nice about being a sorghum farmer in this climate smart commodities area is we've been climate smart forever in raising sorghum. We've had to be climate smart. We've had to use resilient opportunities and resilient practices because of where we raise our crop. We raise our crop in a pretty harsh environment, so we've already been implementing those things. The thing that's been really great about climate smart is we don't have to change something to be included. We get to utilize the things that we've already been doing. And so that's a reward to sorghum farmers who have been doing the right and the good things for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Demand, obviously, so important for producers. What does the demand picture look like for sorghum growers, both domestically and internationally?
You know, demand is a good thing for sorghum. Sorghum's trading many places above corn today. And, you know, that's a great opportunity for us. We continue to work very diligently in China and having great opportunities in China to export to China. We also are looking in other places as well. I spent about 10 days in India in January, making sure that we're doing the groundwork and laying the foundation of hopefully a future trade agreement with India, and making sure that our producers have an opportunity to have access to a 1.4 billion person market. I think that'd be a great opportunity for sorghum farmers just to have an access into the Indian market.
Craig, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Bill Hurley with the Association of Equipment Manufacturers will wrap up our conversations right after this.
It's not as simple just to wake up one day and go, I want to be a conservation farmer. You're changing how your farming practice is done. You're changing your operation.
Farm Credit supported John and Kelly Watley as they shifted to more sustainable farming, improving the environment where they farm and live. Learn more at farmcredit.com/climate.
Don't miss the Must Attend Policy Event of the Year. Register now for the 2024 AgriPulse Ag and Food Policy Summit. Hear from the diverse players who are trying to revitalize rural revenues as we examine the forward-looking ideas that will drive policy decisions for this year and the decades ahead. The summit takes place on March 18th at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. and through our virtual experience. View the agenda and register today under the Events tab at AgriPulse.com.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Newsmakers, joined by Bill Hurley with the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. Bill, thanks for taking some time to join us here.
Glad to be here, Spencer.
So I look at the roster of Commodity Classic. We've got corn, soybeans, wheat, sorghum, and don't take this the wrong way, but I don't think of equipment as a commodity necessarily. It's something that's used to produce a commodity. What can you tell me about why AEM feels it's important to be involved in something like Commodity Classic?
Well, AEM has increased its involvement with Commodity Classic over the years because it's a huge opportunity for us to be able to interact more with the attendees, with the growers that attend Commodity Classic, and ensure that, we've got that two-way communication. But I think equally, if not more important, is the collaboration that AEM can have with the various commodity associations in regards to the collective challenges, addressing the collective challenges that we've got in the ag industry. Mm-hmm.
So looking at AEM and all of the various commodity groups here meeting this week, a lot of folks getting together to discuss priorities, be they organizational, legislative, regulatory. What can you tell me about the priorities AEM is bringing out of Commodity Classic?
Well, I think, and probably no surprise, but being in the ag industry, AEM's number one advocacy priority for 2024 is the passage of a farm bill, and a farm bill that includes some, very specific things around connectivity, because, you walk around this show floor here, you see all the technology. In order to be able to utilize that, you've got to be able to have connectivity, not just at the barn, but across the fields.
So looking then at a number of the other things that have that are going on at AEM, I know you guys a couple years ago were successful in getting a lot of farm equipment on the National Mall to display in Washington, D.C., and I understand that's something y'all are looking to do again.
We are, and again, I think as you look at AEM's advocacy efforts for 2024, the Celebration of Ag on the Mall, this will be our second time. It's the 6th through the 8th of May in Washington. And its focus is really twofold. Yes, to be able to, educate anyone who may be able to stop by, but it's really specifically targeted at being able to educate the various employees of the agencies, whether that be the EPA, the USDA, some of those middle-level people that may never get exposure to the types of technologies.
Let's talk about some of that innovation, because I remember a number of years ago talking with my dad as we were riding around at a combine, asked him if he ever thought he'd have a yield monitor and all of these various technologies when he was in high school, and he thought, I'd have been happy to have a cab. Now you walk around and some of the technology that you're seeing on display here at Commodity Classic. I mean, I know this is probably a bit of a loaded question, but what's next? What are the innovations that that producers can be looking forward to from AEM and its members?
Well, I think, truly it's across the board, but there's a tremendous amount of work in the industry today that is going on around propulsion systems and clean energy and, what we can bring to our growers to help support their efforts on sustainability. But I think that as you look at the precision technology that's being developed today, and we've used this little moniker that the value proposition used to be the iron, but as we go forward, it's the insights that that we can bring, taking data, turning it into information so that our growers can make real-time decisions to improve their efficiency and yield.
Mm-hmm. What do you see as the role of the equipment company, the equipment sector, in achieving some climate smart agriculture goals on the part of producers?
Well, I think it's huge. And because as you look, whether it's propulsion, what types of engine technology, energy technology, is being developed and can be deployed, but there's so much more that surrounds that. And it's how do the various functions, whether it's of an implement like an air seeder or a planter, all the way down to the hydraulics and the control of that, the precision of it, how do they work together to, number one, reduce this carbon footprint, but at the same time, drive significant improvements in efficiency, yield. You look at reductions in chemical fertilizer utilization, more precise placement. Those are some of the key things that the industry is bringing to the table today.
Bill, thanks for joining us.
Yes, glad to.
Our thanks to the folks at Pivot Bio for hosting us for this week's AgriPulse Newsmakers, as well as everyone that stopped by for a conversation at this week's Commodity Classic. You can stay up to date with the latest in farm policy news at AgriPulse.com, where you can also find next week's episode of AgriPulse Newsmakers back again in studio. For AgriPulse Newsmakers, I'm Spencer Chase. Have a good one. Newsmakers is a production of AgriPulse Communications. For more ag policy news, visit AgriPulse.com. You can also find our new content on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to follow AgriPulse and our correspondents on social media to get breaking news and more.